is one of the most crucial and pivotal points in the Bible. It literally changed the destinies of generations of Israelites. And I'd like to ask the question, is there anyone here, if you are, just raise your hand, if there's anyone here tonight named Shemua? Anyone? Okay. Anyone named Shaphat? Strange name. How about Igal? Palti? Gadiel? Gadai? Amiel? Sether? Nabai? Or Jeel? Anybody here by any of those names? Middle name even? Nobody. Okay, I know one of these for sure. Do we have anyone here, your first name or middle name is Caleb? I know Brother Blanky in the back. Anyone have a child with a middle name of Caleb? How about Joshua? My son's middle name is Joshua. Okay, Brother Meyer. Okay? Why is that? Why is, when you think about great Bible names, I always think of Caleb and Joshua. But I never think of these 10 spies. Those are the 10 names I just read you. Never. Now, I wouldn't even name my cat one of those names. Amen? If I had, I'd probably name my cat Jezebel or Ahab or something like that. Amen? But why is it? What's the difference in those names? I'll tell you what the difference are. When I think of those 10 spies, I think of unbelief. When I think of Joshua and Caleb, I think of two men, Pastor John, that said, God can do anything. If He wants us to have that land, we'll have it. These 10 spies caused so much grief and so much heartache. By the way, I love the story, and I can't wait to preach on it when the Lord gives me liberty, but I love the story in Acts chapter 27, where Paul says, be of good cheer, I believe God. Amen? I'm happy to report to you tonight that your pastor believes God. Believes God can do anything. The hardest thing that God ever did is save our soul. And if He can do that, He can do anything else. We're talking about the God who created everything in 6 days by the word of His power, the Bible says. But here, these 10, in verse 33, our text, they didn't believe God. And therefore, they saw themselves. Look what it says here. It's very interesting in verse 33. It says, and there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. Now, Brother Jim, I agree with that. They looked at themselves and saw the children of Anak, and they said, in our own sight, we're grasshoppers. But then they made a statement that they had absolutely no right to make, and we don't know if it's true or false. The Bible says, and so we were in their sight. So we were, we were grasshoppers in their sight. You know, Brother Sammons, I don't think that's true. Because the Bible says in the book of Joshua that God would send the hornet, and He would send these different things to drive out the nations. And when Jacob traveled, and the Bible says the terror of the Lord was upon the nations. I tell you what, if they were grasshoppers, they probably saw them as giant grasshoppers. That we ought to have no business with the children of Israel. See, there are folks that they look at themselves as grasshoppers. And there are, sadly, people, and there may even be people in our church today that have no faith that God can do the impossible. I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, God can do the impossible. He can do unbelievable things. You know, if you invite a friend and that friend comes on friend day, you know what God can do? God can save their soul. The impossible. We serve the same God of the book of Numbers is the God of today. Praise God. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. But there are some that are grasshoppers. They don't believe in God. And we see some things that happen in our text when people are grasshoppers. When they have that grasshopper. And by the way, if you've ever looked at a grasshopper, you've ever studied it, it's a skittish insect, isn't it? I've seen them where they're hurt Uncle Joe, and you walk over to them and you try to help them, they blink, they just take right off. They're so scared. They're so frail. I want to give you, if I could, 10 traits of grasshopper Christians tonight. Things that happen because of grasshopper faith. Can I say this? Listen, if you have grasshopper faith, would you just keep it to yourself, please? Amen? Would you just keep it to yourself? The problem with these 10 is they blabbed all over that this nation was too much and God couldn't do anything, and it cost the deaths of literally millions of Jews that died in the wilderness. So if you have grasshopper faith, keep it to yourself. Don't spread that around. Amen? Don't spread around unbelief. That's the last thing we need in the church of God is unbelief. 10 things. I want you to notice, first of all, grasshopper Christians, or grasshoppers among us, they determine to see only the obstacles. They determine to see only the obstacles. Look at verses 28 and 29. It says, "Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in that land. The cities are walled, very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." Grasshopper, people with grasshopper faith, people that see themselves as grasshoppers, they determine to only see the obstacles. Praise God, we don't have many of them around here. Well, Brother Boston, I just don't know. You think you can fill that bus up? I mean, listen, kids don't like to come to church like they used to. We used to be able to take a piece of bubble gum and get 10 kids to come to church. Well, I just don't know if we can do that anymore. Grasshopper. Listen, is God still interested in saving children? He sure is. He sure is. But what happens is we see the obstacles. We see the church that had an accusation thrown against them. We see the church, and heaven help us, we hope it never happens here. We see the church where a visiting child has passed away. Listen, we see all those obstacles. I'm here to tell you, God is bigger than the obstacles. They see, and notice here in our text, first thing they see is they see that the people were strong. Well, I don't know, Pastor. You know, I don't know. The people in the community, they just don't really want this. Since when has the church been a popularity contest? We don't, listen, honestly, I am not a seeker-sensitive pastor. I'm a biblically spirit-sensitive pastor. Amen? You say, what do you mean by that? Well, the seeker-sensitive crowd, they want to bring all the things of the world in to draw the world. No, thank you. Thank you very much. Have a nice day. They say, well, the people are strong. Look what else they say. The place is walled. How can we get in there? I mean, we can't get in there. Hey, Pastor John, we got in some areas in the last 3 and 4 weeks that were quote-unquote walled up. We weren't supposed to be in there. Passing out flyers. And got a call yesterday, Brother Horst, from a lady who registered her grandson because we went into a walled place. Thank God. Hey, listen, the third thing you see there is they said the presence of giants. The presence of giants. And I have no doubt that the children of Anak were pretty big. Well, I knew a little boy named David who took a sling and a stone, amen? Popped that big giant right in the forehead. You say, why? Because God is bigger than any obstacle that man can place. But people that are grasshoppers, they just determine to see the obstacles, only see the obstacles. That's all they see. They don't see that God is bigger than the obstacles. Number two, something they very, very important. They don't not only determine to see only the obstacles, but number two, they dismiss God's record. They dismiss God's record. Look at, if you would, at verses 30 and 31. Praise God for Caleb and Joshua. And Caleb stilled the people. I like that. You know, there's a time to just say, hush, hush. Stop all this bickering and arguing and talking about how God can't. Hush. Let me tell you something about God. I like Caleb. He said, instill the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Go down, if you would, to chapter 14, verse 8. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. You see, these grasshoppers, they determine to only see the obstacles, but then, Brother Becker, they dismiss God's record. Hey, God's got a pretty good record of protecting His people. God had a pretty good record in Egypt of taking His people and breaking the bondage that man had on them through the 10 plagues. Amen? God had a pretty good record of feeding them as they went along, as they came to the Red Sea, and it looked like all hope was gone. God had a pretty good record. God had a pretty good record. As He parted the sea, and the Bible says they walked across on dry land, and here came the armies of Pharaohs, and God said, whoosh. And the armies of Pharaohs were no more. God's got a pretty good record. Hey, God's got a pretty good record when we have faith. When we trust Him. When we believe that He can do the impossible. God's got a pretty good record. But folks like this, folks in the grass, they just dismiss God. Well, you know, listen, there's giants over there. And good night. We can't do anything against them. We'd be powerless against them. That's right, but God's not. Amen? God's not. God is still powerful. He's still God. But they dismissed God's record, didn't they? That's a shame when we do that, ladies and gentlemen. When we forget that God is God. Hey, God's God when there's too much month at the end of the money. Amen? Isn't He? Hey, God's God when your loved one gets cancer. Hey, God's God when a child is taken home early. God is God. So we ought not to dismiss His record. He's not made a mistake, and He won't start with you. God is God. Number three, not only determined to see only the obstacles, grasshoppers amongst us, not only are they dismissed God's record, but something else, and probably most important to the story, they are driven by fear. They are driven by fear. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just say something. Each one of us has fears. If you don't, I don't think you're human. Amen? Somebody said the definition of courage is not being afraid, but it's doing your duty in spite of fear. Going through the fear. And we all have fears, and we all have shortcomings, but here they are driven by their fear. Look at verses 31 through 33. But the men that went up with them said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land. Go down to verse 33, and of course, our text. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which are come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, it's one thing to have fear. It's another thing to have fear keep you from doing what God wants you to do. A lot of people never, never go soul winning because they're afraid. And I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, that is a shame. Brother Tharp hit it last night. Again, I understand that some of you physically cannot be out for soul winning, but a lot of you can, and a lot of you don't go because you're afraid. You're driven by fear. Well, what will they say? Well, they might get saved. You might snatch somebody from hell by going out soul winning. Plus, God said to go. Amen. Go and I'll fill you. Open thy mouth wide, I'll fill it. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That was, if we'd say this, Jesus' famous last words to us. But grasshoppers are driven by fear. It's one thing to have fear. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, when you dig into the Bible, and we'll talk about some applications, what ought to happen to fear is, you know what? Faith ought to squeeze the life right out of fear. Amen. Because we believe God. We believe that God is bigger than our fears. And God can conquer our fears. And God has not given us the spirit of fear. But of what? Anybody know it? Of what is it? In a sound mind, that's right. What is that? Faith overcomes fear. But the grasshoppers, they're just driven by fear. They just determine to see only the obstacles. They just dismiss God's record. Something else important. They direct their life by sight. You know the verse that got Martin Luther was, the just shall live by faith. He looked at that and saw himself as a Catholic priest. Said, I'm not living by faith. The just shall live by faith. I'm trying to work and work my way to heaven and go through all the rituals and all the rigmarole, but the just shall live by faith. But can I say this? Grasshoppers live by sight. They direct their life by sight. You think about a grasshopper. As soon as he sees you, he jumps away. As soon as he sees anything that scares him, he jumps away. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, God may want us to do something that the world says is impossible. Here's the thing. If we have faith, you know what he's going to do? Bless. Listen, there are some people that told me, I talked to preachers, I said, we're trying to have 300 on Friend Day. They said, that's impossible. Hey, with men, well, these things are impossible. With God, nothing shall be impossible. You see, folks, we don't live by sight. We live by faith in a good God. We live by faith. But listen, grasshoppers, they only live by sight. These are the folks, when it comes time to give to missions, they look and say, I can't do it. Can't do it. Can't do it. But listen, then there's others of you that have been given to missions for years by faith, and God always blesses. God always blesses. Because he said, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, running over, amen, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you. But God wants to grow our faith. But those that are grasshoppers, they direct their life by sight. Just only what I can see. I've had people not saved say, I can't believe it. I can't see it. There's somebody in the Bible that was like that. His name was Thomas. Doubting Thomas. It's okay if your name's Thomas, amen. He turned out all right. Well, what happened? He said, except I see the prince, the nails in his hands, and the side, I'll not believe. And praise the Lord, Jesus came. And he said, Go ahead. Put your fingers in there. Put your hand in there. He said, Thomas, you're blessed because you've seen and believed. How much more are they that have not seen and have yet believed? That's you and me, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, let's not live by sight. Let's not be a grasshopper. Let's live by faith. Amen. Let me give you another one. Something else that grasshoppers do. Grasshopper Christians, grasshoppers amongst us. Look at chapter 14, verse 1. Look what it says there. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people, what's it say? Wept all night. You know what else grasshoppers do? Grasshopper Christians, grasshoppers amongst us, they discourage God's people. They discourage God's people. Listen, a couple of people in our church get charged up about something, and I'm in their corner, and other people are in their corner, and then you know what happens is the grasshoppers start chirping. Well, I don't think we can do that. I don't think, Ann, we could have lots of ladies saved in jail. I mean, do they really mean it? You know, I mean, they're in jail. Do they really mean it? Yes, they do. Just like you did. Just like I did. Say amen. Praise the Lord. Listen. What happens here is they discourage God's people. And that's why I said, if you are a grasshopper, please keep it to yourself. Most grasshopper Christians that I've ever known can't. They just got to tell everybody how God can't do anything. And it's a shame, ladies and gentlemen. Praise God, we don't have many of them. But one of the purposes of this message is if you are on these border grasshoppers, just get it right. Amen. Just realize that God can do anything. They discourage God's people. Listen, heaven help us, we discourage God's people. Amen? God takes that very seriously. You ever come in my office and I counsel with you, I'll tell you this. You know what I'm going to treat you like? I'm going to treat you, Mr. Jordan, like a child of God, because that's who you are. I know who your father is. I'm going to treat you well. And I'd hope you'd give me the same courtesy and the same liberty. But listen, grasshoppers, they just blab and discourage God's people. And it's a shame. It's a shame. We talked about this morning. Let your words be pillows of encouragement instead of arrows of discouragement. They discourage God's people. Something else they do in verse 2 of chapter 14. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. You know what else they do? They deride God-given leadership. They deride God-given leadership. When Pastor Schott was here, he is such a wonderful man. I wish, honestly, I always kid with him. I said, you know, one day when I grow up, I want to be just like you. Amen. I say that to him all the time. We're good friends. But Pastor Schott went through, just before we came to Harvest in 2005, he went through one of the most unbelievable things that a preacher has gone through that I know. He literally had in a business meeting, folks rise up and at call for a vote for him to be removed as pastor. They had levied some false allegations and they had two or three people. And praise God for godly deacons. Because Pastor Schott had a godly deacon behind him. As soon as he went to answer, godly deacon said, Pastor, we'll handle this. And he had they took a vote right then and there, and it was about 17 people that stood up and voted for him, and it wasn't enough. And the deacon turned it right around and said, okay, we'd like to vote for these 17 to be removed from church roll. All in favor, say aye. And everybody else said aye and stood up, and those people were gone. But I thought to myself, you know, they derided God-given leadership. Ladies and gentlemen, I promise you, nobody knows more than anyone in here that I am nothing. Nothing. But God put me here. God, I know it just as clear as I know I'm saved that God put me here. Hey, there's a difference in talking. We can talk about things. We do that in deacon meetings. I've done that with other brothers and sisters in the Lord. Talk about things. Listen, when a God-given leader makes a choice he thinks God wants him to make, you have no business deriding him, getting in your little corners. So happened to Brother Tharp. Was here last week. He's in Elgin, Illinois now. He's going to take a teaching position. 15 years in a pulpit. God, they rose up against him and said, we want a progressive church. I kind of heard that once before, Pastor John. We want a king over us. We want to be just like everybody else. They deride God-given leadership. Don't do that. Listen, take it to the Lord in prayer. Amen. Take it to that person privately. But there they were. They discouraged God's people. They derided God-given leadership. Something else very, very interesting that follows those two, and it's a progression. Verse 2, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt! Or would God we had died in this wilderness, and wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives, our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? You know what else they end up doing after they discourage God's people and they deride God-given leadership? They desire the world, don't they? According to the text. They desire the world. They desire worldliness. By the way, we had dinner with the Tharps last Sunday night, and I told them, I said, I love you, I'm in your corner, and there's a whole lot of preachers and churches that are in your corner. But listen, by and by, Lord, folks, the church is getting more like the world. It's getting more like the world. And I'll tell you why it is. It's because of grasshoppers. It's because of grasshoppers. They said, well, we gotta find a new way to reach the young people. No, we don't. We got the old way. And you know what I've learned about the old way? The old way works. Aren't you glad for that? Some of you are shooters. There's a handgun called a 1911. A 1911. It's been working just fine since 1911. No need to change it. Amen. Hey, you get yourself good bait and a good fishing hole and you got an old pole that works. Do you need to get a new one? No. Jeremiah said, seek ye the old paths, the trusted ways. But no, grasshoppers, they want the world. Bring the world in. Hey, it's better if we go back to Egypt. Egypt's always a picture of the world in the Bible. Hey, be better if we just went back to Egypt. No, it wouldn't. No, it wouldn't. Be better if you just got right with God and obeyed God. the old-fashioned way. Amen. Something else, and we'll not tarry long here, but they divide God's children, don't they? Read verses 2 through 4. See how they divided the people against Moses and Aaron and against Caleb and Joshua. And grasshoppers are dividers. They divide. Because that's Satan's method. Divide and conquer. Divide and conquer. Divide and conquer. Something else. Verse 11 and 12. Look there with me if you would. Something else that grasshoppers do. They don't initially realize it, but it comes out. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I have showed among them, I will smite them with a pestilence and disinherit them. And I will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. Something else that grasshoppers amongst us do is they displease God, don't they? They displease God. You see, what pleases God? Faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11:6 tells us. But unbelief displeases God. And can we say it this way? Particularly unbelief from His children. Because if anybody ought to be able to trust our heavenly Daddy, it's God's people. If anybody ought to have faith in what God can do, it's His children. How many times has He proved Himself to us? How many times have we had a need and He came through? Oh, how we ought to trust Him. But grasshoppers, they displease God. Number 10, and then let me just give you three little applications. Number 10, go down to verses 28 and 29. You know what grasshoppers end up doing through their unbelief? Verses 28 and 29 says, say unto them, as truly I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. You know what they end up doing through their unbelief? They destroy themselves. They destroy themselves. We've been studying about the apostates, and obviously the unbelieving Israel was an example of apostasy. They suffered a physical destruction, not an eternal destruction like the angels or like Sodom. But what happened? Their unbelief destroyed them. So many people, this little seed of unbelief has destroyed their faith in God. That's why I don't read the Bible anymore. That's why I don't take time to pray anymore. Because that little unbelief destroyed them. Let me give you three ways not to be a grasshopper. Our application tonight. No sermon is any good without application. We want to know how we can use this in our own life. You say, I'm not a grasshopper, Pastor. Praise God. I don't want to be a grasshopper. Amen? I don't want, but I know I've got flesh on me, and I can certainly become like a grasshopper if I'm not careful. What we need to do, three things, and they all start with F, that'll help us not to be a grasshopper. First thing is faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Get in your Bible. You don't have, listen, you wanna expand your faith, you've got to get in the Bible. That's it. There's no microwave solution. Amen? You've got to slow cook it. It just takes time in your Bible to develop your faith, to build your faith. When you see this incredible God that is revealed in the Scriptures, it'll increase your faith. It'll build your faith. You got to do it. If you don't, you're in danger of becoming a grasshopper. Let me give you something else. Not only faith, fear, faith, hear what He says, but not only that, but tonight, it's important, fellowship. Fellowship. Get around people who believe what He says. Get around people that encourage you. Well, I thought about this, and I don't mean to put folks on the spot, but brother and sister Boston came here, and we've had them over. We've been friends a long time. Brother Boston, has anybody invited you over recently? Recently. Last month. Anybody invited you over to their house? Please, folks, I'm not picking. This is a fine new family at our church. Somebody ought to invite them over for fellowship. Somebody ought to invite. I'm not going to say me and Carrie. We get invited a lot of places. There are people in here you don't know. You ought to invite them over to your house for some fellowship. You ought to get around them and encourage them Why? Because you have no idea how much that helps when the world starts pulling. And you've got people in your church that you love and fellowship with. I know not everybody can have fellowship every week of the world. We go broke, amen? Let me just tell you, I like having you over for fellowship because my wife only cooks dessert when we have new people over. So I've got fellowship scheduled for the next 52 Sundays, amen? I like dessert, amen? No, no, no. What are you trying to say, Pastor? Hey, you want to keep from being a grasshopper? You got to build your faith. You want to keep from being a grasshopper? Get fellowship. Get around people that believe God. Get in the house of God when the door squeaks. I know I'm talking to the Sunday crowd. You don't need this, amen. I probably ought to preach it on Sunday morning, amen. But get around God's people. Fellowship is so precious. Keep us from becoming a grasshopper. Not only faith and fellowship, but lastly, follow Him. Do what He says. Do what He says and watch Him bless. You know, I believe every Christian ought to tithe. I don't say that because I'm a pastor. I say it because I have proved that verse in my own life. See, God said in Malachi 3:10, he accused Israel of being thieves. He said, "You're robbing me." Somebody say, "You calling me a thief, Pastor?" No, God said it. God called me that. And you say, what did He say after that? He said, "Listen, bring all the tithes unto the storehouse and prove me. And see if I will not pour you out a blessing. Open the windows of heaven that not even be room to receive it." Brother Sammons, I can't tell you how many times I've thought when we put the tithe check out there, I thought, oh my. Going to be a tight week. Amen. just a few dollars to buy a few things. And then, Mr. Jordan, God would bless us. Somebody would come along, give us a gift certificate. Give us a gift card to Myers or the Kroger's, or someone would come along and say, "Hey, would you come preach for me and give us a love offering?" I can't tell you how many times that happened. But you know what? It matters. What Jesus says, we need to follow. That's it. Again, it's not complicated. Is it difficult? Yes. Yes, it is. It's not. If it was easy, everybody'd be doing it, as Dr. Malone used to say. But what we need to do is we need to build our faith. We need to have fellowship. And we need to determine that we're going to follow what He says. That'll keep you from being a grasshopper. I don't want to get to the end and have God say, "Grasshopper." Amen. Grasshopper. No faith. Listen, I want to build my faith. It takes time in the book every day. You say, "I don't get a solid hour. I've got kids." Amen. Welcome to my life. Amen. I understand. I understand. I see how my precious wife reads the Word of God, Brother Loggins, when she can. When she can. When she gets opportunity. But you got to desire it. You got to desire it. You got to want to build your faith in the Word of God. You've got to determine to fellowship with God's people. And by the way, can I just say this about fellowship? And we don't have to have all our T's crossed and our I's dotted just the same. We're all different. Brother Pipko, you and I are different. That's okay. Amen. By the way, God doesn't just want us all to be a hand. Read 1 Corinthians 12. Doesn't want us all just be an eye. We've got eyes, ears, nose. For those of you that are parents, head, shoulders, knees, and toes. Amen. It's all part of the same body. Different members, all one body. Let's have fellowship one with another. Let's have fellowship one with another. And let's determine that we're going to follow Him. Like that song says, "I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back." Let's stand if we could.